Hello everybody, this is KC Lau here from kclau.com, and it's a nice morning here, and thanks everyone for logging in today. We have 40 over people right now, and I'm glad that you all can make it, even though it's during weekday office hour, and of course this is the time we work as well, so we try to keep our session during this time, and this is the best time because we are still fresh and we can give you all the information you need. So today, I have invited Pauline Teo, basically she is now at home from Singapore, and she is going to teach you about the 3R concept, which is very useful to identify undervalued stocks, which is which is practiced widely in the whole wide world about value investing. And before we get started, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Pauline. Pauline, basically, I've listened to her live performance, I'll say, live talk, and she's really a lively woman. She's a great trainer, and I bet you will enjoy this session very, very much. And if you have anything you want to ask to Pauline, don't be shy, just use the chat box. You are not going to disturb us. Just type any question you want to know about investing in stock in the chat box, and we will get to the question first come, first serve basis. And I expect that we couldn't get to every question you submit, so do it fast and we will get to the first few questions within our reach. So Pauline is a very confident and self-driven facilitator. She is personally mentored by the two successful value investors, Ken Chi and Clive Tan. They are from Singapore and they are the founder of the company called A Investment, and Pauline is also part of that company. Pauline achieved a return of investment of about 12% in two of the companies that she has invested and generated 20% dividend yield during the first 18 months. She is currently the Director of Education and Training with A Investment Private Limited, focusing on the design and development of value investing programs. In 2012, Pauline published her first value investing book, which is called Value Investing for Women. So in fact, at first I asked Pauline whether you can give a talk about value investing for women, but she said, oh, this sounds sexist and men cannot listen, is it? So I said, okay, we can change the title and suit to everyone here. So if you can hear our voice, if everything is working fine on your end, just type in the chat box saying good morning to Pauline, so that we know you in fact know how to use the GoToMeeting chat box. And okay, so without further ado, I'll let Pauline take over from here, and she'll teach you about the 3R concept.
All right, thank you, Casey. Casey, can you hear me?
Yes, Pauline.
Do another sound check. All right, great. Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Pauline. Like what Casey have actually introduced, I've been doing value investing for the past 3 years. So just a short introduction about myself. How did I started value investing? You know what? Since young, my dad always tell me this, you know. He says, Paulina, you must study hard, get good grades, go to good university, and then when you graduate, be a civil servant. Why civil servant? Because my dad was a civil servant. So when he was a civil servant in Singapore, there were two very good perks. One is this thing called the pension scheme, which means after he retire, government will actually support him. The next thing is this. When you actually work in the civil service, it is known to have an iron rice bowl. So my dad gave me the formula. Be a graduate, then after that work with an iron rice bowl. By the time you retire, government support you. So I think that that's a very good formula. So what did I do? I listened to my dad. I study hard, get good grades, went to the university. After graduating from the university, yes, like what you have guessed, I joined the civil service. All right. But by the time I joined the civil service, things change. First, there is no more pension scheme, which means what? The government is not going to support me after I retire. And secondly, what happened is I was actually retrenched in 2007. The department that I was working in was privatized. Yeah. So what happened is the private organization that took over my department gave me pay cut and benefits cut. So I decided, must think about my retirement. So what did I do? I went to trust a person by the name of a financial advisor. Why? Because at the point of time, even though I must say I'm quite highly educated, being a graduate, but I know nothing about finance and I know nothing about investment. So I rely on this person by the name of a financial advisor. So my financial advisor told me, if I want to invest and build my retirement, the nest egg, I should invest into this thing called a unit trust. And so I listened to my financial advisor. Since year 2000, I've been putting part of my salary and bonus into my unit trust. So from 2000, 2001, 02, 03, 04, until 2009, that was the time during the subprime, one day I received my statement. You want to make a guess how much I made during the past year to 10 years, 2000 to 2009?
Yeah, you can make a guess using the checkbox, yeah.
You want to make a guess? How hard do I see the checkbox?
You couldn't see it. I can see it, but I'll read it out for you.
Okay, sure. Alright.
So let's give them a few seconds to type.
Just type. Make a guess how much I made.
A negative return, say 10 yo.
Oh, negative returns, alright.
How about the others? No one want to take a guess?
No one? Okay.
3 million. So when you say 3 million.
Oh, 3 million are so good. I didn't have that much money to put in as a civil servant.
1%.
1%. Very good.
Kenny said negative. Chuan Tung Poon said less than 3%.
Less than 3%. Okay. In fact, the 1%, 3%, even 0% is better than my return. My return was a negative 40%. So let's give a round of applause to Kenny. Yay! He has actually guessed it correctly. So what happened was I got a shock. I did not know what to do. Because why? I asked myself this question. How many 10 years do I have? What if by the time I retire, it's still a negative? So I went to source around. And then what happened was, these two men suddenly appeared in my life. I had an opportunity to see these two gentlemen. Do you all see the picture? Clive Tan and Ken Chi?
Yeah.
Yes, alright. So I have an opportunity. Yes. I met up with Ken. And then Ken actually told me, you asked me a question. Do you want to learn to invest in equities? My first answer was not like what you have guessed. It's not a yes. It's a no. Why not? Because I know nothing about shares. The only thing I know is from the show, I'm not sure whether you have watched, not sure whether you understand this word, Cantonese word, Tai Si Toi. Yeah? So the only show I watched at that point of time is that time the TVB serial, and I thought stocks is about, you know, when the market crashed, everybody jumped out together with the market. It's so risky. So I tell him, no, Ken, I'm not going to learn. But Ken corrected me and said this. Ken said, Pauline, if you invest in stocks, you are not just buying a piece of paper or a share price. You are actually investing into this thing called an equity. Why? You know, when you buy into a stock, what makes you, it makes you what of a shareholder? What of a company? The word is shareholder. So when you own a stock, it makes you the shareholder of a company. In layman terms, it means it makes you the owner of a company. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would assume if you want to own a company, you want to own a good or a lousy company. Of course, a good company, right? So if you want to own a good company, how do you know it's a good company? The thing is this. A good company will continuously add value to humanity. Which means what? If the company continually add value, its product or a service that the company produced would be something the human beings need, the humanity needs. Frankly speaking, if a company don't produce any product or service to sell you, alright, and they make money, the scheme is called Ponzi scheme. Alright? Mm-hmm. So definitely a company must produce the product or a service. Once it makes money, alright, this is something that humanity needs. And the human population is growing. As the demand for it increase, alright, the business definitely increase. And if the management is competent, definitely what they will do is they will manage the company well and the company will grow. As the company grows, revenue profit will increase. And when the management has got this thing called integrity, alright, has got this thing called integrity, they will share part of the profit with the shareholders as a form of dividends. So as dividends grow, the share price naturally will go up. And after Ken told me this, I said, wow, that is really, you know, logical. It really makes sense to me. And what I did was, I went to attend the program, and after I attended the program, to date, I've been receiving consistent dividends and also capital appreciation. So now the thing is this. I've taken a few minutes to introduce about myself, how I started value investing. Now, I'm going to jump over to the next few slides to actually show you, all right, what is the method that we use in actually doing this thing called value investing. All right, and later on, I will show you one case study, how we analyze a stock listed in Bursa. Okay, so now, this is the person. Some of you would have seen him or heard him many, many times. This is the person whom we look up to, and he is Warren Buffett. And since Warren Buffett, over the past 50 years, has been so successful, there must be something in him that he has done correctly. So isn't it right for us to study what he know, what he practice, and model after his success formula? And after we analyze him, this is what we found out. All right? Okay, he's known to be the billionaire next door, and he bought his first share at age 11, and now regret he started too late. That's why he's a multi-billionaire. And Warren Buffett does not even have a computer on his desk. You know, very contrary to some trader ask you to do, for you to be very good at trading first, you must watch 3 TV screens. On the 3 TV screens, you must watch CNBC, CNN, and ABC. Then you listen to commentaries, right? But sometimes I can tell you, these analysts, they give conflicting commentaries. Never mind. On top of that, you're on 2 monitor screens. On the 2 monitor screens, you watch out for RSI, stochastic, candlesticks, Bollinger Band. And after that, you watch out for buy signal, sell signal, mixed signal. I can tell you, eventually, you got confused signal. Correct, not? So this is the thing. Value investors like Warren Buffett, like Peter Lynch, like Ken and Clive, like us, we no need to rely on computer. So ladies and gentlemen, make a guess right now. You can type in again. What do we read? Okay? I believe Casey can see you. Yes. Right now, we are a bit interactive here, so you can actually type out. So what do you think we read as value investors?
Yeah, Anton and Karina both have typed in annual reports and Kensick ratio. Jasmine said reports, and most of them say annual reports. Yeah.
Very good. Yes, this is what we read. We read annual reports. Yes. So later on, I will show you in the annual reports what are the figures that we take using a case study. All right. And I will show you the type of ratios that we use. All right. Now, Warren Buffett's advice to new investors is to stay away from trading derivative instrument, and most importantly, this word called educate yourself first. And at this juncture, ladies and gentlemen, for the 40 of you who are here joining us, I really want to acknowledge each and every one of you for taking this half an hour to 45 minutes to join us in this webinar to educate yourself, right? And this one is just a few newspaper articles to show you. There are, of course, many years back, what happened was there are two words that will kill people in terms of investment, all right? If you don't do anything with your money, all right, these two words both start with I. The first word, if you don't do anything with your money will be eroded by the first I word called inflation. Correct or not? And I understand in Malaysia, the inflation, even though officially is 3%, but I doubt so lah, huh? Because I've been to Malaysia so many times, all right, I've seen the food prices keep on going up. Okay? So the thing is this, if you don't do anything, your money will be eroded by the first I called inflation. And second I that will actually kill your wealth is this word called ignorance, another I. All right, so this is the thing. A lot of people many years ago, or a few years ago, was actually going into this kind of gold investment. But the thing is this, if the scheme sounds too good, all right, giving you 30% a year return, sometimes you need to ask, all right, what actually do they do to actually give this kind of return to you, okay? So the thing about value investing is this. If you practice it, you can expect a 15 to 25% per annual return. And how many things to learn? Two things only. You first got to understand the difference between what is valuation to what is a price. Okay, so there's a difference between these two in terms of valuation and a price. Let me give you an example. Okay, so in terms, let's say in a property, most of you would actually have somehow bought a property, you know, a house for yourself to stay. So when you want to buy a property, first thing you want to ask before you offer a price is to ask for the property valuation, correct or not? So you will actually ask, you know, this banker, maybe this particular house is worth $1 million. The other one say, oh, maybe $1 million. Then the other one will say $1 million. Also, you roughly know the valuation is $1 million. And you decide for yourself the price. Maybe you think the house is worth more than $1 million. You put a $1.1 million. Then you think the house is not worth $1 million. You actually put in a price of $800K. So similarly, this format should be used also in stocks. Let me ask you, let's say right now, there is a particular house, and this house is situated in strategic location, okay? And this house valuation of all bank give you $1 million. And let's say the couple, because they want to have a divorce, you know, they don't want to see each other soon, and they want to really get rid of the house fast. And you have money, you can take up the loan, and most importantly, the house not haunted, right? Well, you're actually, and the seller now offer you $500K. Would you buy the house? Definitely. You would buy the house.
Yes, definitely.
Right. Yeah, because it is under value. Okay, so this is the same theory when it comes to stocks. Right. Let me give you an example. Let's say I believe many of you have drank this drink called Milo before, right? Yeah. Let's say yes. Right now, you have been drinking Milo. Milo owned by which company? Nestle, right? Mm. And Nestle is now listed in the Bursa Stock Exchange, okay? So, the thing is this. Let's say touch wood. Now, you can hear, let's say, U.S. got a terrorist attack, and a lot of important buildings, and not only now do they bomb the Boston, they now bomb the White House, the Pentagon. And then, touch wood, let's say, there's also the Euro debt crisis coming. Apart from Cyprus, the Italy, France, and other Greece, all the countries have said they cannot pay off their loan. Now Europe is going into a Euro debt crisis. With these two news coming, let's say, what will happen to the stock market? The stock market will crash, right? And let's say because of this news,
yes.
Nestle, the share price dropped. Let's say from 60 ringgit, dropped to 40 ringgit. Hypothetically, let's say. Well, let me ask you this question. The next day, do you think people will stop drinking Milo? Do you think the next day people will stop drinking Nescafe? No, right? So,
no.
They will still continue to drink Milo, Nescafe. Do you think Nestle, their revenue profit will drop overnight just because of this news? No. Okay? So, because of this, let's say, you understand the business model of Nestle, you know how to calculate the valuation price of Nestle, and you realize Nestle, the valuation is worth 60 ringgit. Now drop to 40 ringgit. Would you be happy? Yes, of course. Why? Because you are buying something right now that is under its worth. So the thing is this. When we practice value investing, all right, we make sure we know the value of the business or the stock that we invest in. We do not take chance. All right? So, I know a lot of people like to take chance to say, you know, they buy $1 today and pray hard tomorrow it will rise up to 110. That's called speculation. So that's not called investing. Okay? So if you want to learn how to do this value investing, we have a concept called the 3R concept, whereby a very simple method, we do value investing. We only buy when the 3R meet. First is right business model. We make sure the company definitely has got the right business model, managed by the right management, and when the business model and management is right, I can tell you, valuation and the numbers will definitely be okay. All right? So, let me just give you the more details what we see in the 3R. First, we take a look at the circle of competence, which means what? Ladies and gentlemen, buy into the business that you know. This is the reason why a lot of people lost money, because they like to buy into the flavor of the month. What do you mean by flavor of the month? Like for example, analysts had to say, oh, right now is the best time to buy oil and gas. Then people are going to rush in to buy oil and gas. But the thing is this, what do they know about oil and what do they know about gas, apart from the oil they cook and the gas they use to cook? Correct, not? There are so many different types of business in oil and gas. They may be oil trader. They may be the one building the oil rigs. They may be the one processing and doing refining of oil. But the thing is this, if you know and invest within your circle of competence, that means what you know, like the one that I gave you the example called Nestle, during crisis, all right, you will be able to see for yourself whether that particular business is affected by the crisis or not. And the next thing that we take a look is this. We make sure that the company will be around in the next 10 years. Okay? The thing is this, why do we want to ensure that at least in the next 10 years we know people are still drinking Milo? Correct or not? But how do you know whether in the next 10 years people will still be using handphone? This is the thing. You do not want a timer whereby you sleep in the middle of the night, then suddenly the next day or next year you realize, oh, the business or the stock that you invest in, suddenly the business is gone. Just like, you know, in Singapore, there used to be one listed company called Sembawang CD Shop. It actually was listed, but after a few years, it was delisted. Why? Because the company went bankrupt. What happened was people don't listen to CDs anymore. So this is the thing. You need to make sure that, all right, this particular business has got a moat, has competitive advantage, and will still be around. The next thing we take a look at would definitely be the numbers. First of all would be a consistent revenue growth. All right, we take a look at 5 to 10 years. We don't just see 1 year. All right, and not only do we see the profit, there must be strong cash flow as well. All right, and the next thing we take a look at would be a low capital expenditure, which means what? We don't want companies, after they make the money, they got to spend money on their plants or their machineries. Let me give you an example. One of the industry that we don't really like to invest in, that industry is actually the airline industry. Why is it that we don't like? Even Singapore, all right, the Singapore Airlines is making money. We also would not want to invest in it for a very simple reason. First, airline industry, let me ask you, how many of you are loyal supporters of your national carrier? I, for one, am not. And every time when I go into, I need to go traveling, what do? I will actually go to www.2g.com, correct not? To go and find the cheapest airfare. And if you realize with the budget airlines coming in, airfares are getting cheaper and cheaper. So they are always in a price war. First thing we don't like about this airline business. Secondly, even though, like for example, SIA make money, they are also known to be the youngest fleet. Every 5 to 10 years, they got to spend big money on what we call the capital expenditure to buy new aeroplanes. And aeroplanes are not cheap. Okay, so this is the thing that we don't like, secondly, about airline business. Third is this. No matter how good SIA is doing, let's say, it can never kill its competitors. Why? Because we know of definitely one airline, I'm sure you know, in your country, right? Every year don't make money. Okay, but the government will always bail them out. So, no matter how good SQ is doing, they can never kill away their competitors. So, the competitors like other national carriers, like for example, even Japan Airlines, they don't make money, all right? They will still be around. So, to actually compete in the market space. So, this is one of the reasons why we do not like to invest in any of the airline stocks, all right? And fourth, is this thing called low debt. We want to make sure companies has got low gearing, low debt. If no debt, is even better, so that during crisis time, okay, they will not be subjected to repay, you know, money to the bank. And the last thing that we look at in terms of track record will be the current ratio and cash ratio under the business model. Next thing we take a look will be the right management. Okay, we would actually want to see whether this management, they are the majority shareholder. Why? Because you are shareholders, correct not? You want to make sure that their interest, that means when the management, when they make a decision, their interest is always aligned to your interest. And let's say if they own 40%, 50% of the stocks of the whole company, if they make a decision and the share price drop, would they suffer? They will suffer as well. So this is the thing. We want to make sure that when we look at the management, we will take a look at the part where how much shares do they own in the company. And of course, I always emphasize this, we want to make sure this I word called integrity, the management has got this thing called integrity. Because when they have integrity, next thing, when they make money, they will give you back part of the profit as a form of dividend. Why? Because another way the management can actually make a lot of money without the shareholders making money is this. When the company, even though with the right business model, they make money, they can also pay themselves, right? They can pay themselves millions of dollars as a form of salary or performance bonus. They need not give you back as a dividend. But with management of integrity, and also if they are the majority shareholders, where the interests are aligned with your interests, when the company make money, we would be very assured that they will issue out dividends as a form of a payout to all the shareholders. The other thing that we take a look at would be this thing called return on equity. Okay, we are taking a look whether this company would have 20% return on equity annually over the past few years. Okay, now, the next thing is this. Last thing, we take a look at valuation versus price. Now, when we take a look at the valuation, we use different method. We sometimes see PE ratio, but sometimes PE ratio, I know, the lower the better. But good companies, very seldom, you will get low PE, the price to their earnings. Now, we will take a look also at their growth. Let's say a company, the PE, let's say the price to earning ratio can be 15 times. But if the growth is at, let's say, 30% per annum, you will see that the growth rate is much higher than the price to earnings that you are buying, such as it's at 0.5. That will be a good business to go into to buy at undervalued price. And sometimes we also use price to book where it's less than 0.66. That means that we use 66 cents to buy into $1 of their book value or their asset value. Okay, now you have to be very careful when you come into asset value because some assets are not assets. Yeah, we will discount things like, for example, machines. Why? Because when a company closed down, the machines are worth nothing. Okay, or sometimes you need to even spend money to get rid of those machines. Yeah, what we consider asset first, definitely cash. Cash is definitely an asset. The second thing that we take a look are prime located properties. Okay, not those properties in Timbuktu, that one also don't worth anything. Okay, the next one that we take a look would be in terms of their earnings. What we are looking at is for some predictable business, we will take their earnings and we discount it over 10 years. And we buy when there is 50% margin of safety. What does it mean? To put it in layman terms, what we are looking at is when we take the earnings, discount it over 10 years, if it's worth a dollar, we want to buy it at 50 cents. Yes, you are right. 50% of $1 is 50 cents. Okay? So, let's take a look. I know now that you have taken a look what the 3R method that we use in terms of right business model, right management, followed by the right valuation. You want to see how we apply it to one real case study. Alright? Now, this is one case study which I am going to share with you. This company is called Hatalega, right? Hatalega is into this business called the glove business. Why do I like this glove business? Because glove is something, once you use it, you have to throw. You cannot reuse it, right? Because of hygiene factor. So this is the thing that we like about this business model. There is this thing called the recurring business. And if you can see, their clients normally are in healthcare sector. There is also some in manufacturing and high-tech laboratory sector. The good thing about this company is it's on a B2B. That means business to business. They do not sell the gloves to the retail side. They sell normally to the business owners that own, like, let's say, hospitals and clinics. Now, this company is unique in a way. Why? Because they produce not the natural rubber glove, which most of us know. They produce this type of glove called the nitrile glove. And nitrile glove in US and developed countries has now been getting traction. Why? Because you can take a look here, they have no protein allergy. This is the reason why a lot of the developed countries are now using nitrile glove, and also because the nitrile glove has a higher stress retention. Now, this is some data that we got from CIMB that shows the use of the gloves, as you can see in gray color. here, right? In gray, the use of the nitrile glove is on an upward trend, whereas the natural rubber glove is on a downward trend, okay? And also because one of other reasons, you can see from here, that nitrile glove tend to be lighter weight, so when it's on delivery, the transport cost is also much cheaper. Now, this is another chart that we are going to show you in terms of the use of the nitrile glove. You can see from here in the developed countries such as Europe and North America, the glove consumption is very high. And there is this area called Asia. As you know, Asia, one of the most populated and dense in terms of population, is actually not using that much of a glove. Why? Because in terms of maybe hygiene factor, you know, we are not in Asia, it's not there yet. But as you can see right now, what disease is going on? Opportunity is actually coming up. With all the H at the end, with all the numbers coming in, the H7N9, H1, N2, H1, N1, you can see the use of the gloves, and because of all these illnesses, is going to pick up. And right now what I'm going to show you is this. What we like about this business is because it's recession-proof. As you can see, it's always on an upward trend, the use of the number of gloves. Now, let me show you. You can see from 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. 2001, we have the 911 incident where the economy actually came down. 2003, there was SARS. Yeah, so economy wasn't doing well as well. Then it picks up on 05, 07. Before it can fully pick up, 08, 09, okay, there is this subprime. So as the economy was going on a cyclical mode, you can see the use of gloves is still on a single line upward trend. Correct? Now, take a look at here. This one is just to show that the use of the gloves in emerging countries, China and Brazil. And last year, we have also been to the AGM. This Mr. Kwan, who is the chairman of Hatalega, is saying they are now focusing on China and India as well to expand their business. Okay? Now, take a look at this thing called the gross profit margin. If you take a look at the charts, something is going to show you. It's quite stark in terms of Hatalega. Right? They are having the highest gross profit margin, if you can see, at 37%. Even the next in line is Riverstone. Riverstone is also another company that's doing nitrile glove, and they are actually listed in Singapore Stock Exchange. The one that most people will know is called Top Glove, right? You take a look, Top Glove, that is the largest producer of the natural rubber glove, is their gross profit margin is only at 11%. So the good thing about Hatalega is they have a high gross profit margin. Okay? And this is their moat, what we call the competitive advantage. Why is it that Hatalega can do so well in terms of a very high gross profit margin is because their process of making the gloves is fully automated. So this is something that the secret has not been revealed. Okay, this particular technology apparently I know is also patented. Okay, so this is where the competitive advantage is that allow them, as you can see in this slide, to get them to be the fastest producer with the lowest defect rate. Hatalega can produce 45,000 gloves per hour, where Top Glove only can manage to produce 28,000 and market rate is only 18,000. Yet their defect rate is one of the lowest, okay, at 3,000 pieces per million that they produce, as compared to the market rate of 10,000 per million. Now, you can see that Hatalega, they are one of the most efficient in terms of the sales per worker can bring in. All right, so it's 306,000 versus the market of 200,000. They are intending to increase it during the last AGM, they are saying, to 500,000 per worker. This is why they are able to do that, as you can see just now I've shown you, because the whole process is actually fully automated. All right, and this particular machinery, it can reduce the number of workers that's being hired. This is the reason why they are more efficient than the rest. And they also have a growth plan. They are going to build 6 new plants in addition to the current one, all right, of 72 production lines by 2019. Each plant normally can have quite a number of production lines. Okay? Now, if you can say that, you know, oh, a lot of companies will give good news, right? For example, they will have growth plans, but they may not execute it. It's true. We will also monitor to make sure that apart from them doing it, the management, as I mentioned, must have integrity. What does it mean by integrity? It means that they do what they say. And we have received an email, as you can see from here, okay, Albert, who is the investor relations, because Rusmin and me, we attended the AGM. Our company is a shareholder of this company. So we attended the AGM, and they also update us that their Plan 6 was actually completed, where they improved in terms of their speed of producing the gloves, and they have 10 new lines that's going to be commissioned by July 2013. And Plan 7 will begin in Sepang by end of the year. So this is the thing. We like it when the management really do what they say. Okay? Now, apart from telling you good, all the things good about the company, not every company or every stock that you invest, there will definitely be risks. Okay? So now I'm going to tell you what are the things that you need to take note of regarding this company. This particular company in the past, because of this, the use of the nitrile glove that's not really used in the Asian countries, but more in the US and Europe country, they rely a lot on the US-Europe country customer. So much so that two customers accounted for 50% of the revenue. And this is also a risk. Why? Because as you can see in their annual report, the print screen that I show you, customer B in 2012 actually left them. Okay, so we are also concerned about this and asked during AGM last year. So this, Mr. Kwan is saying, it's alright because they also realized that the 50% of the revenue coming from two customers is also a risk. So what happened is they are actually getting more customers so that they can also reduce this risk with on the reliance of just two main customers, which is a right strategy. Why? Because I can see from their net profit, even though, let's take a look at the revenue and net profit in 2012, even though customer B has left them, but their revenue and profit did not drop, which means they managed to acquire new customers as well, okay, in 2011-2012, such that they don't over-rely on these two customers in the US. Okay, now, this one just show you that the natural glove over the past few years has also been on an upward trend. Okay, the next thing I want to focus on will be in terms of the cash flow. As you can see, the cash flow, the one in yellow, is always on an upward trend. Alright, now not only the yellow line that we are concerned, we are also concerned about the blue line. Blue line states the free cash flow, which means what? When the cash flow is in, it's good. But we want to make sure that they don't spend too much on their capital expenditure. So much so, as you can see in 2008, maybe it's just a one-time off, that the part in the orange, which is their capital expenditure, is actually higher than their cash flow. Okay, so if this is a one-time off, it's all right. Maybe that year they need to expand their business, they spend a little bit more on their capital expenditure, but that should not be for long. Okay, as you can see, this company still has free cash flow since 2009, whereby it's on a positive upward trend. Okay, why do we want free cash flow? Because a company with really the free cash flow after minusing off the capital expenditure is where they can use it either to expand their business, or if not, they can use it to pay off the shareholders as a form of a dividend. Okay? Now, let's take a look in terms of the gross profit, net profit. Just now we have taken a look, their gross profit is always at 30% over, and net profit, as you can see, for past 5 years is also hovering at 20 or more. Alright? And their selling and general expenses are going down. Cash ratio is also going up at $1.91 versus $1 of current liabilities. What does that mean in cash ratio? It means this company called Hatta Lega, for every $1 of current liability, they have $1.91 to pay off. So isn't it very good? Because you do not need to worry, just in case, let's say touch wood, they do not have cash flow coming in, you know, or suddenly something happened to the company, they would have issue paying their current liabilities because they do have the liquidity there. Yep. Now, return on equity, this company also is very fantastic. You compare it with their gearing. The return on equity every year is above 20%. In fact, this company is doing at 30% over, which is very excellent. Okay, and gearing ratio, you can see, is near to zero. Yeah, this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You can see that we do a lot of homework in studying a company. Why? Because when you put your hard-earned money into these listed companies, first of all, you need to make sure not only your money grow, you are able to sleep soundly at night. Okay, so this is the thing that we are looking at. And in terms of the dividend, you can see they consistently also give out dividends. All right, and they have a dividend policy of 45% of net profit will be given out, which means what? For every 1 ringgit that they earn, they will give out 45 cents as dividends to the shareholders. All right? Oh, I know some of you are very concerned about, what is the current share price, right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of the current share price, right now it's at about 5 ringgit or so, okay? This particular company, if you bought in 2008, you can see it is at 60 cents only. You can see there's an asterisk. Why? First of all, we have vested interest in it. I also like to put this disclaimer that this case study that I show is more for educational purposes. It's not a recommendation to buy or to sell. Now, this 60 cent, as you can see, is actually adjusted because they did a stock split. Okay, so well, I need to compare apple to apple to show you how this particular stock, if you invest in a good company, it will actually naturally, the stock price will move by itself because people will recognize it, the market will recognize it. Yeah, at 208, this company listed at 60 cents, currently is about 5+700% over ROI. Annualized compound return, this is something that we normally would look at. All right, it's a very important figure. This means on a year-to-year basis, this company is growing at 68% per annum. You can compare this with the interest rate that you get from the bank. Only 3%, right? Yeah, so versus 68%. This means this particular company, if you buy it, is growing very well over the past 5 years. But did we buy it at 60 cents? No. We bought it at 283. Now, this is the joke. As you can see, if I buy at 283, until now about 5 plus, wow, it seems like we are making quite a bit of money, right? But if you take a look, when we bought at about 283, it was at one of the highest price. And some more, it is about 400% more than the 60 cent when it first launched in IPO. Now, this is the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not see whether a stock is cheap or expensive based on the share price. What you need to do right now is to know whether this particular stock at this current price, as compared to the valuation, is it cheaper? Which means, during the time when we bought at 2 ringgit and 83 cents, at the point of time, the valuation that we have gotten was about maybe 4, 5 ringgit. Right now, at about 5 ringgit, of course, I know, your question is this particular stock undervalued or overvalued? Ladies and gentlemen, I have to end. I think my time is up, right, Casey?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So this is the thing. I cannot teach you how to do valuation in such a short timing. All right. So if you would like to find out more, okay, you can, Casey, where's the avenue? Do they
Yeah, they can register for your, I think you have, yeah, sure, you have regular preview training
talks,
for them, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. If you would like to actually attend, all right, any of our talks, I do have a session which, a 2 to 3 hour session, which I highlight what we will be sharing, okay? And if you want to find out more about the program called the Millionaire Investor Program, which we do conduct on a regular basis, because the next one, let me tell you, is going to be after election. It's going to be very fun. Okay? It's going to be held on the 17th to 20th May, our Millionaire Investor Program. That program you can find out, you know, in terms of the valuation of the different companies, not only the one listed in Bosa, but also in Singapore Stock Exchange. But you can also join me this Saturday, Sunday. We have it in our Mid Valley office. I have a session which is a 2-hour session, which I just now I've run through with you about value investing. And if you want to find out more, talk to me. Okay, you can come and join me in this session. All right?
Yeah, great, okay. Pauline. So you just mentioned that you have the upcoming MIP program.
Yes.
The program.
Correct.
Can you give more details about that? I've just pasted the link where they can register for the two or three hours.
Oh, yeah, pasted the link. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. And all right. I will just type it up over here. Okay. Okay. It is going to be held on the 16th. Sorry, 17, 18, 19, 20 to 20th May. 2013. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Okay?
Great. So this will be in Mid Valley.
Yes. Yes, this will be held at Mid Valley.
Okay, great.
All right.
So we still have like 10 minutes to go, so we'll open the floor for Q&A. And Pauline, I really thanks. I guess you cover a lot of stuff in this just within these 45 minutes, and
yes.
talk about quite thoroughly about the 3R concepts, right business model, right valuation, and also right management. And now let's get to some of the questions posted by the attendees today. In fact, we have over 60 people right now.
Oh,
many are logging in here. So we have the first question from Karina. Karina wants to know, how do you value invest during non-crisis times?
Okay, so value invest during non-crisis time is the same theory. You know, it's like non-crisis time, how do you buy properties? You know, when someone, let's say, just not use that example. You know, sometimes you can just find very good deals because there's particular property is worth $1 million. Someone wants to sell you at 500K. So it's undervalued. That doesn't mean it's during crisis, yeah? And during non-crisis time, just need to make sure that always keep, for that. That's what I do, always keep a watch list of the companies, the business model, and the management that's good. I'll always keep that. And in terms of the pricing, I use the market price not as a dictator for me. The market price is just telling me if it falls below the valuation price that I put in, I just buy. Whether it's crisis or non-crisis, there will be one. There will be companies even during non-crisis time that's undervalued, especially companies that nobody like to look at. Yeah. And also during the non-crisis, let's say right now there's non-crisis, but there's a particular sector at this juncture that is actually in a crisis, and that is called the shipping sector. And you will learn more when you come for MIP. We will share with you this type of company called a cyclical business. Yeah.
I see. So I hope you answer your question, Karina. And you have a second question. How do you manage your emotions when market prices are volatile?
Okay.
It's very important.
Yes. How do I manage my emotions? Don't see lah. That's how I manage my emotions.
So don't see, is it?
Yeah, don't see the prices on a daily basis. Yeah. So the thing is this, treat it as a, you know, I wrote in my book called Value Investing for Women. You know, women has this thing, we love sale, right? So when the price crash, just treat it as you go shopping. You know, treat it as, your price is now going down. Oh, it's time for sale. When it's sale, you should be happy. You should buy more. Correct or not? So treat it as a form of a normal buying. Don't let the prices affect. So this is how I manage my emotions. And also I need to have this thing called faith. The faith, which means you will know that the market price drop, not because the company something is wrong. The market price drop sometimes is because of crisis. Alright, now? So you need to have the faith that the business is still doing well. Right, that the management is still doing well. So if the price drop, isn't it a good chance that you should be happy that a sale is coming? Yeah. And the other thing that we manage our emotion is because in a Millennial Investor Program, we have a network. So we are consistently, you know, we'll talk to one another. that will help to build your faith. Why? Because when everybody is panicking, all of the network in MIP, what we will do is we'll be discussing, we'll be very happy telling one another, you know what to buy, you know, what are the, what in this crisis, this companies will be affected and things like that. So that network actually helps in, you know, helping us to make sure that we are grounded and focus that into investment. Mm. That's how I build it. First is treat it as a sale, all right? Mm-hmm. Don't let it, the emotions affect you. Secondly, the network to help with making sure everything is okay. Yeah.
So there is, in fact, a community support within people who actually attend the MIP program.
Correct.
Well, that's good. So it's part it's not just a course that you attend, but after you attend, you also get a community support on this.
Yes.
And you all get together quite often, right? I heard that you have.
At least, because we have an online forum. Mm. At least in the online forum, we can discuss and make sure that we are on track. And I had this experience during the Euro debt crisis, because when I was after I attended MIT, there was the Euro debt crisis. So I was very happy, because I can actually sell off my unit trust, even though I recognize the loss. I can put money to buy into really undervalued stocks. But that was the time when my aunt told me and warned me, Pauline, don't buy anything. You know, you are still very new. So you have this kind of noises coming, I know. But with the network, it actually assured me that I'm doing the right thing. Yeah. And it's proven over after 3 years. Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely proven. So, Chua want to know. Chua is asking a question. No, so is Hatalega and Riverstone still worth buying right now? ask this kind of question.
Yes. The thing is this: if you all realize that when it comes to education, it is okay that I can tell you now. You know whether Hatalega is still undervalued. Now, my question is always to you. Today, I tell you. Let's say Hatalega is worth, let's say 9 ringgit. You know now it's 5 ringgit, it's undervalued. You go and buy. Let's say 2 months later, after the great thing that's happening, or a month later that's happening in Malaysia, stock prices all came down. All right? Now drop to 4 ringgit. Then 6 months later, they drop to 3 ringgit. Now my question to you is this. What will you do then? You see? So the thing is, most importantly, that's why I emphasize education. Okay. Most importantly, you need to be able to understand that the valuation does not stay stagnant. Even today, I tell you, it's undervalued. All right. 1 year later, two years later, as the price increased from 5 ringgit to let's say 10 ringgit, you will ask yourself the next question: is it still undervalued or is overvalued? So you need to, for yourself, be able to calculate it yourself, because this year's valuation and next year and the following year and 5 years valuation is different. Yes. Yeah, so I'm sorry, this one normally I don't like to just give an answer, because if I give you the fish, it feed you for a day. I would rather you learn to fish for yourself.
Yeah, yep, I definitely agree with your answer, and I think it's a very good answer. I think you have handled this type of question quite often.
Yes.
So we hope right. answer to you, Chua. And Bernard Lee wants to know, how much does it cost to get into the MIP program in Mid-Valley?
May. Our program, module 1 is 1999, and module 2 is 3999. 17 to 18 is module 1, and 19 to 20th May is module 2. All right, so you come down. I think what you can do is you come down to listen to our talk for the 2 hours during our preview. All right, and during the talk, you can actually ask more and know more about the program and what is the value, because our program is not just a 4-day program. Our program is actually a continuous learning journey. You can see someone like me 3 years ago who knows nothing about investing, know nothing about the ratio, know nothing about financial report. Today can tell you so much. It's because the continuous support of the program, in terms of the online forum, in terms of the networking session, it's always there. So come for the session this Saturday or Sunday, you can hear me, and then after that you can ask more. I'll explain to you more about the program.
I also recommend that if you want to know more about MIP, just attend the free session and get to know Pauline personally, see if she's beautiful, see whether you want to go get caught by Ken and also Clive, right? So good, I'll recommend recommend everyone, just if you want to know more, register for the free webinar. There's nothing to lose for you. And Chua want to know, would you expect the KLSE to be in bull or bear after election? Yeah, this is also a very common question. Yeah, let's get to that if you're okay.
Yeah, of course. You know, the thing is this, when people ask me this question, I will always tell them, my name is Pauline. My name is not G-O-D. Right? So, there'll be three scenarios that I definitely know after the election. One is the market will go up. The other one is market will come down. The next thing is the market will stay sideways. So, regardless for me, all right, all I know is when the market down and I know it's undervalued, what do? I buy. When the market is really, really running up, such that it's overvalued, what do? I sell. Okay? Mm. So this is the thing. I don't let the whole market dictate what I do. I let it facilitate my decision. Because my companies, you know, the ones that I want to buy is always there. All right? And I will always follow this rule that I will always stay invested, whether it's crisis or it's maybe bull run, but I will not invest all. Because I will always leave certain percentage where during crisis I can buy more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Yeah,
I'll say this is a great answer.
Thanks.
And because, like, you know, when investors who practice value investing, in fact, we don't actually bother about the market news and all
this
stuff. Yeah,
yes.
It's not like every minute you have to look at it. There are no computer needed. Maybe you need it for trading.
Correct. Yes.
Buy and sell. Mm. Okay. Enter want to know where to get further info on this event of MIP. And just now we say that just go register using the link. You know, I just sent to you. Register for the free webinar, free seminar.
Mm.
That will be held on this. I think this weekend, right? You have.
Yes. Okay, one other website that you can go to know more, we always write free articles. I've just typed in, is www.millionaireinvestor.com. Alright, if you want to find out more about the free seminar, okay, you can also type in to this free seminar, alright, which I've now shown on the screen. Can you still see the screen?
Yes,
right? Mm. Okay, so you go to www.millionaireinvestor.com. If you don't type the /free-seminar, it will be just articles. Feel free to go in. We have videos for you as well. There are 30 videos which you can watch, small videos, each about maybe 2 or 3 minutes, where you can learn about value investing. If you want to find out more and come for the talk, you can just register www.millionaireinvestor.com/free-seminar. Okay, because we do talks not only in KL, sometimes we go to Penang, sometimes we go to Ipoh. Okay, but the dates have not been scheduled yet because initially I'm supposed to go to Penang like 2 weeks ago, but because of the election that's coming up, quite a few of these talks are cancelled. Yeah, after the election. Okay. So we'll have more talks after the election, which you all can join in as well.
Yeah. Thanks. So this is very good information, and Philip just said that. He invested in Hatalaga. It's a top 10 companies he invests in. So good for you, Philip. Yeah.
Good,
and
yes.
Let's get to the last question and we're going to end this webinar. The last question is from Kenny. Kenny wants to know, value investing is associated to holding stocks for middle to long term. You know?
Yes.
What would you do after investing and only to find out that the company does not do well or up to expectation? So do you continue to hold or sell the stocks even at a loss?
Alright. For me, this happened to me before. I invested in one of these companies called, it's listed in Singapore Stock Exchange. The company is called Best World. Right? This company, in terms of the numbers, everything is good. No debt, good cash, steady dividends. And their business have been growing for the past few years. But what happened is, they were actually exporting their products to Indonesia. But Indonesia has a change of rule, the law changed, and somehow their products couldn't get into Indonesia, which is one of the major markets. And because of that, plus Thailand that time has got some riots, okay, their business suffered. So I actually monitored it for like 6 to 9 months. The business did not recover because no matter what they do, they still could not penetrate into the Indonesia market. Their stocks were being stuck. So after 6-9 months, I realized, you know, this company is not really the initial story that I bought it is because it's actually expanding overseas. Because when you expand overseas, the business grow, etc. So now the story doesn't hold anymore. Even though at a loss, I will sell it. Okay, so I my emotional stability is always there. I have no attachment for the stocks. So when the story doesn't stay anymore, I have a very logical mind. Even though at a loss, I will sell it away. Yeah, but if the prices keep on dropping, mainly because of let's say macroeconomic situation, nothing to do with the business, I will still continue to hold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my answer. Yeah, frankly, if the business don't do well, I will not hold it lah. That's the thing. Or sometimes it's due to changes. Yeah.
So basically, you free up the cash and you have more capitals to actually invest in the company that's undervalued.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yes. Because they are always undervalued companies, so I just sell it off, buy into another one.
Yeah. Can you say you provided a good answers? And Kenny say thanks, and I also want to thank Pauline. You know, you have a live session here, and I really appreciate what you have done for us. And
yep,
I guess everybody here, they are also very excited, and they gain a lot from this session. And please type in "thank you, Pauline" in the chat box, and we'll see you all again in the
last but not least. Maybe just in case you all have more things, is it okay that I give my email address?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. If you all want to find out more, or somehow you have some other questions which maybe due to the time constraint you are not able to get an answer, feel free to write me an email at pauline@8investment.com. Okay. So I'll reply to you as much as I can. But please don't ask me whether this stock can buy, that stock can buy or not. All right.
Okay.
And if it's in terms of learning, definitely I'm more willing to share, you know, how I view situations, or if you have any even certain questions regarding value investing, just like I shared, you need me to clarify more, feel free to do so. Okay?
Okay, great stuff. So thank you everyone for attending, and we'll see you again in the next webinar. Goodbye everyone.
Alright, see you. Thank